Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. You know, in this week, we're going to talk about a king who actually stumbled across the Torah and found it. It had gone missing in the nation of Judah at the time, and he comes upon it. So let's go ahead and get into this week's teaching. We are still in the book of 2 Kings, and we're going to be in chapter 22, and we're going to be talking about King Josiah. So here in verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah of Bozkath, and he did what was right in the sight of Yahweh, and walked in all the ways of his father David, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. So last week's teaching, we talked about Hezekiah, and we talked about the revival of Hezekiah. You could say how he brought Israel back to walking with Yahweh. And so as we read through the book of 2 Kings, we see that after Hezekiah reigned in Judah, that his son who reigned after him, Manasseh, actually had an evil heart towards Yahweh. So Hezekiah, who tore down the high places and brought the attention of the Jews back to Yahweh there in Judah, his son comes in place and he reverses everything that Hezekiah did. He then rebuilt the high places, and Judah began to worship at the high places there. So after Manasseh reigns, Josiah, who's only 8 years old when he begins to reign, so at a young age, as a child, Josiah had a heart after Yahweh, and he chose to do what was right in the eyes of Yahweh. And it's interesting, as we read through the scriptures, anytime a king did what was right, it always says they walked in the way of his father David. Remember, David was known as a man after Yahweh's heart, okay? So Josiah walked in the ways of his father David. So he had a heart like unto his father David. Now, David wasn't his literal father. He was from the lineage of David, okay? And it says that Josiah did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Now, what this is saying is, you know, Yahweh laid out his law or his Torah, and he gave it to the children of Israel. At this time, we're reading about the nation of Judah. So this is the tribe of Judah, and also the tribe of Benjamin is there as well. So there's only two tribes left. Now, when we choose to embrace his Torah, it is a straight and narrow walk. Remember, even Yeshua would say that his way is straight and narrow. It's difficult. It's hard, right? It's straight. It's narrow. Broad is a way that leads to destruction. So when scripture is talking about he did not turn to the right or to the left, that is saying they stayed focused on that straight and narrow path that was in front of them. They didn't stray from the commands, because that's what sin is. Sin is to stray from the instructions that was given us. When we think about the Torah, it is so commonly called and translated as the law, but it is really better thought of as instructions given to us from the Almighty. The Torah in itself was never meant to be a means of justification for the nation of Israel. The Torah was given unto them to give them instructions on how to love God and how to love people. And it also was going to point them, and it was meant to point them, to the fact that a Messiah was coming, and for them to be able to recognize and know the Messiah. The Torah in itself shows us and tells us of our need for redemption, for a Messiah. That is the purpose of the Torah. So no person can obtain righteousness, justification. No person can obtain right standing with God. No person can be justified of their sins by obeying the Torah, because the Torah was never meant to do that. The Torah points us and shows us to the fact that we are sinners. And because we have broken his Torah, we are under a curse and we deserve the death. We deserve judgment. But it points us to the fact that there is one who was going to come and has come, and he would shed his blood, who would be sinless, who would be spotless, and by his blood there would be forgiveness of sin. Okay, so we gain that from understanding his Torah correctly, is that we need redemption. We need forgiveness of our sins. We cannot obtain forgiveness. We cannot obtain right standing with Yahweh. We cannot be justified, forgiven, and found innocent from our wicked deeds on our own. We have to have belief in Yeshua. That was the purpose of the Torah from the very get-go. And it provided instructions unto them and unto us on how God wants to be loved, how he wants to be set apart, how we make his name great amongst the nations. When we walk in his Torah, we elevate his name. We exalt his name amongst the nations. We cannot exalt his name amongst the nations if we're walking as the nations walk. If we worship him as the nations worship their gods, we are not exalting his name to the highest extent. We will exalt his name some to the degree of his instructions or his law or Torah that we're obeying. But the more we embrace his Torah, the more we embrace his law, the more we will exalt his name amongst the nations. Okay? So Josiah has a righteous heart, a heart that is not turning to the right or to the left. He's not wavering from the commands. Now let's read in verse 8 here. Then Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law, or you could say the book of the Torah, his instructions, in the house of Yahweh. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So the Torah at this moment in time had been missing. The scribes that are serving with Josiah aren't even aware of the Torah. Josiah is not even aware of the Torah. It has been hidden. And it's interesting where they found it. They found it in the house of Yahweh. It was there. So the question is, were they even going into the house of Yahweh at that time for it not to have been known to be there? But when we think about this, though, why had the book of the Torah been hidden? When we think about the Torah, as I said, the purpose was for us, when we did it, was to exalt him, to give us instructions on how to love him. And Yahweh himself said that when we walk in his Torah, we embrace the law, we embrace those instructions in which he has given us, it brings us life. His law actually brings life unto those who have been redeemed, to those who have been forgiven. When they walk in obedience to his Torah, it brings life. So we have one out there who does not want us to have life. So if he can keep that book hidden from us, guess what? He's going to do that. If he can convince us that that part of the Bible, that that Torah, the law, has been done away with and it is not for us, he will. Because he's going to seek and try to steal life from us in any way he can. So if he can fool us, trick us, deceive us, veil our eyes, make us blind unto something so that he can wiggle his way in to steal, kill, and destroy, he will. He is looking for every opportunity to prevent us from attaining the fullness of life and joy that Yahweh wants us to have. That is his goal. Yahweh's goal is different. He wants us to have fullness of life, a fullness of joy, to have a fullness of blessings and prosperity. And that is why he gave us his Torah. His Torah is from a loving father who desires the best for his children. If you identify as a child of God, think about the heart of a father. Why does a father give his children instructions? Because he loves them. He wants the best for them. He wants to protect them. Because the father knows better than the child. So the question is, how much do we really believe in our Heavenly Father? How much do we really trust in our Heavenly Father? Because if we sit back and we look and we see his Torah and we say, this is something given to me from my Heavenly Father who loves me, who wants the best for me, and his desire is to protect me, and he knows better than I do. As a child of God, we are loved by a Heavenly Father whose desire is to protect his children. And that is what his Torah is. So the enemy doesn't want you to submit unto those instructions from your father, because he wants to steal and to kill the life that Yahweh wants to bring you. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and calamity, and that I am commanding you today to love Yahweh your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that Yahweh your God may bless you and the land where you're entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not listen, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. So here in the Torah, Yahweh lays out why I am commanding you today to do this. I am commanding you to love Yahweh your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments. Remember, Yeshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yeshua's commandments are not different than Yahweh's commandments. Yeshua came to the earth and he walked in perfect obedience to God's Torah. And then he says, walk as I walked. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments, Yahweh's commandments. When he said that the two greatest commandments are to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor, he is summarizing up the Torah. Because every instruction in the Torah instructs us on how to love people or how to love God. So when we obey his law, his commandments, we're loving God and we're loving people. That is what his law is. It is instructions on how to love him with all of our heart and how to love people. So when we reject parts of his Torah, we are rejecting parts of how he wants to be loved. Whether your intention of your heart is that or not, that is what you're doing. And what does he say? If you turn away and do not listen, then what happens? You shall surely perish. Death. Death unto those who do not walk in obedience to his law. So when we break his Torah, the penalty is death. The penalty is separation. They were separated from the promised land. We are separated from him. We will not spend eternity with him. So there's a curse that follows with disobedience. So that's why Yeshua came, to remove the curse of the law. The law itself is not a curse. The law itself, as Paul says in Romans, is good. It's holy. It's righteous. Okay? What is the curse of the law? It's the fact that when I disobey it, now my penalty is death and eternal separation from Yahweh. So he died upon that cross, being the one without sin, the one who never broke the Torah, and his blood was shed upon that cross so that whoever would look upon him who died upon that cross, whose blood was shed, and believe that there is remissions of sin through the sacrifice of Yeshua, to that person is justified. To that person, the death penalty, the curse of the law, has been removed. It does not mean that the law is gone. His instructions are still there on how we are to love God to the full extent with all of our hearts. If we're only picking some of it, then we're not truly loving him with all of our hearts. Now let's look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10. The one who believes in the Son of God has this witness in him. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness which God has borne witness about his Son. And the witness is this, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have that life. So life starts with first believing in Yeshua. So yes, obedience to his Torah brings life. But if you're trying to have obedience unto his Torah without belief in Yeshua, then you will not have life. You must first possess a belief in Yeshua. And a belief in Yeshua, if you have a true belief and faith in God, there should be a desire in you to want to walk in his ways, to want to walk as he did, to want to walk in his commands, his Torah, his law. Because that is what his new covenant is about. The new covenant is that he has given us his Holy Spirit, and he has written his law, the same law that we read about in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. He has written that law upon our hearts. So Israel was given a law that was written on stone, and they were instructed to read it and recite it and to speak it out daily, even with their children, so their children would learn it. They were instructed to wear tzitzits or fringes on their garments to remind them of the commands of God. But in the new covenant, God gives us his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit circumcises our hearts. He gets rid of that old stony heart that is rebellious, that wants to do its old thing. And this is a process. The process of the refining of our heart and the cleansing of our heart and the circumcision of our heart is an ongoing daily process of him making us more like Yeshua. But when he takes out that stony heart, he gives us a heart that has a desire to love Yeshua as Yeshua wants to be loved by keeping his commandments. He gives us a love for his commandments. And then his Holy Spirit gives us the power to walk in obedience to his Torah. Because without his Spirit, we could never fully obey his commandments. It is not by our might. It is not by our power, but it is by his Spirit that we are able to walk in obedience to his law. But see, the evil one desires for us not to have that life. And when there's an absence of the law, it brings death. So if the enemy can come and steal God's law from us, he can steal from us the joy and the blessings and the life that comes from walking in obedience to his law. Now, he's a deceptive one, and at times he knows that there are some people that he can't fully take the whole law away from. But he can take some of that blessing away. He can take some of that life away. He can take some of that joy away. And the way he does it is by making you blind to certain parts of God's law. And when he does that, he's able to steal from you, of you experiencing the fullness of God's goodness. And that is his desire. So he will seek to hide the law from you. He will seek to veil your eyes of the law. He will seek to deceive you into thinking that there are certain parts of God's law that is not relevant unto you anymore. Let's look at John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So here Yeshua is separating himself from Satan. Now this is a passage where Yeshua introduces himself as the good shepherd. He says the thief, which is Satan, he comes only to do this. To steal, kill, and destroy. That's why he comes. That's his purpose. He says, but I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. That's why he came. And remember, Yeshua himself was the Word of God made flesh. And a part of the Word of God is God's Torah, the law he gave us. Yeshua was the law in flesh. Okay, and he came and walked in perfect obedience to the law and laid down his life that we may have life and that we may have it abundantly. But the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So you may not have that life. So you may not have abundant life, to have life abundantly. Let's look at verse 14 in the same chapter. Yeshua, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. The purpose and the goal of the enemy, of Satan, is to keep you from fully knowing Yeshua. When he can blind you from certain aspects of God's law, of his Torah, when he can hide God's law from you, he is successful in keeping you from fully knowing Yeshua. You may know Yeshua, and you can be walking with Yeshua, and you can still spend eternity with Yeshua, but you won't fully know Yeshua. And while you're on this earth, you won't fully experience life abundantly. You won't fully experience the goodness of God. So the question we have to ask ourselves, are we satisfied with not experiencing the fullness of his joy? Are we satisfied with not experiencing the fullness of his blessings, of his goodness, and of his life? Are we satisfied with that? Or do we want to fully know him, to fully embrace him, and to fully experience the goodness of God as much as we can while we are on this earth? Why wait? When we can have it now, why wait? Now let's go back to the beginning of this chapter in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings all his own out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. It is important for us as believers to know and recognize the voice of our shepherd, of Yeshua. And the law is a part of the voice of our shepherd. The stranger will come along, and he will try to speak to Yeshua's sheep. And we have to be able to recognize the voice of Yeshua and the voice of the stranger. Which voice is telling me that it is okay for me not to follow this aspect of his law? Is it the good shepherd who desires me to have life abundantly, or is it the stranger who is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy? Is he trying to rob me of the fullness of God's goodness, of his life, and my life? When we know Yeshua's voice, when we truly know his voice, we will begin to recognize very easily the voice of the stranger. When we love his law, the voice of the stranger is very obvious. When you have a love for God's law, you know the voice of Yeshua. There's no questioning it. You know Yeshua's voice. Now let's go back to 2 Kings, and we're going to look at Josiah's response of finding and reading the law. So this is verse 11. Now it happened that when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. So what we see here is, so the book of the law has been found. They are reading the book of the law unto Josiah. And upon hearing this, Josiah recognizes that there are things in the law that he has been commanded to do that he has not done. And so his response is to tear his clothes. What does this mean? It means he repented of the things that he was not doing that he was supposed to do. Or you could say he was repenting of the things that he was doing he wasn't supposed to do as well. He repented of his disobedience, and he turned from those things that did not please Yahweh. So what is our response when our eyes are opened and we see his law? We see aspects of his law fresh and new. Do we respond as Josiah responded? Do we tear our clothes? Do we repent of our wrongdoing, of our sin? Or do we continue in what we were doing? Because it brings pleasure. You know, sin is pleasurable for a season. But you know, in the presence of God at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And in his presence, there is joy, a fullness of joy. So sin will bring pleasure for a season, but obedience to God's law will bring a fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let's look at Joel chapter 2 and verse 12. Yet even now, declares Yahweh, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and wailing, and tear your heart and not your garments. Now return to Yahweh your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting concerning evil. How does Yahweh respond when we see the error of our ways? Is he sitting there seeking revenge? No. He is sitting there as one who is compassionate, who is gracious, abounding in loving kindness and slow to anger. He is waiting for us, for the veils to be removed from our eyes, for us to see the blessings of his Torah and the blessing that it is good, it is righteous, it is holy, and it's not a curse. He is sitting there graciously, compassionately waiting for us to turn back to him. And he desires for us to come back not in the tearing of our garments, but in the tearing of our hearts. The heart that is broken and contrite, that we have sinned against him, that we have been wrong, we have been in error. And now we desire to turn from our evil ways. We desire to turn from our error and embrace the fullness of his commands, the fullness of his Torah. He is sitting there lovingly waiting for you to come back unto him. Psalms chapter 51 and verse 16. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. What David is saying, Yahweh did not delight in the sacrifice. The sacrifice was given unto them, unto Israel in the Torah, to point to the sacrifice that Yeshua would do. Hebrews tells us that the blood of bulls and goats could not remove sins. So those sacrifices never removed the sin of Israel. It was only through the blood of Yeshua. But even in the death of Yeshua, he doesn't take delight in the sacrifice. What he takes delight in is the one who turns to him with a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. the one who embraces the fact that Yeshua died upon the cross and desires and wants to turn from his evil ways. So his desire, he doesn't delight in the fact that we just believe in Yeshua. What he delights in is the fact that our belief in Yeshua, and we have a broken spirit that desires to turn from our wicked ways. That is what he takes delight in. A repentant heart that turns from the ways of this world, that turns from walking in what satisfies themselves, and embraces the fullness of his law. Well, hallelujah, we are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching, so come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.